Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about ways to make the most out of all your sexual experiences, from penetration, oral, and everything in between. Topics include a chat with friend and CEO of Promescent about the orgasm gap and how long it takes for men to climax versus women. What to do if your partner starts to get a little too aggressive about having sex when you aren't in the mood. How to make sex more pleasurable for your wife who has constant cramping during sex. And where to turn when you're completely bored by sex, with partners, with toys, even with yourself. Trust me, I will get you out of this rut. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You can also find us, you guys, wherever you're listening to podcasts, you can find us there. I love when you review us, you give us 5 stars, subscribe. It really helps us. Also, find me on SiriusXM Radio 5 nights a week on channel 109. I'm there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 East. If you want to get a 30-day trial for free, go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can still call in, even if you don't have a subscription, 888-947-8277. Find me on all social media across the board. It's at sexwithemily. All right, guys, I have an exciting announcement. If you have not seen this yet, you have to check out the new Sex with Emily Vesper. It's an elegant vibrator that you wear as a necklace. And I wear it all the time. I never take it off. I wear it as a layering piece, and it is strong, and it's rechargeable, USB rechargeable. And it's just really cool because you have it around your neck. It's empowering. It's like, I care about my sexual pleasure. And it also means you have great taste. And yes, it works. It's not just around, you know, dangling around your neck to look pretty. So we have a limited edition that you can pick one of 3 phrases that I wrote for you. You can either get I come first, turn me on, or meditate, masturbate, manifest. Just go to sexwithemily.com/Vesper, V-E-S-P-E-R, and get one for yourself. And also, you guys, it starts at $69. You can get the silver one for $69. And then we have rose gold and we have gold. You're going to love it. It's a great conversation piece. I've got it for all my friends for years. They love it. You're going to love this one. So check it out. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoy the show. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Oh. Jeff Abraham, he's a dear friend. He's also the CEO of Promescent. And he's here to talk about, I kept saying, Jeff, you're here to talk about all things penis, but also sexual timing. And his Facebook, Instagram is all at Promescent. And the website's Permessin.com. He's the CEO of a company called Permessin. It's an over-the-counter topical penis spray essentially used to improve climax control and help people last longer in bed. And I've known Jeff for years, since the start of Promessin, and we love having you on.
I love being here.
Because we just never have a dull moment. There's always stuff to talk about when it comes to penises and what's going on. So I think I just explained it, but people don't know about Promessin. Men want to last longer in bed sometimes.
It's the number one sexual health issue for men and women, obviously, because if it's an issue for a man, it becomes an issue for his partner.
Mm-hmm. So it's a real thing. And then you created the spray that can help him last, a lot longer.
Well, I didn't.
Dr. Gilbert, right.
I don't want anyone to think that I'm
that I know
smart.
You didn't. Right. No, I got it. That you took it to market and made it all happen. So how have you been doing, Jeff, since I saw you last?
I've been doing good.
Yeah.
Busy. Very, very busy. But, that beats the alternative, having nothing to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's people like us will never have anything to do. I thought what might be interesting for us to talk about is just lasting longer in general in bed. Because, I've been talking about Promessin for years because it makes sense. But, if you want to there's a lot of other things you can do. Like we talk about edging.
Mm-hmm.
The stop-start method is one of them where mm-hmm. you masturbate until the point where you're about to, go over and then you stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what are some of the focusing on your partner, enhancing intimacy? Because even if you're using Promessin, I feel like we're so focused on penetration where I kind of like about Promessin. Jeff, tell me what you think about this. We could talk about Promessin as just a foreplay tool that you just use. I love talking about CBD lubes that people just rub into their vulva before sex for 20 minutes and you're your vagina won't be anxious and it can help with your orgasms. But with Promessin, even if you're sometimes I last long, I don't always last long, just the experience of them putting it on their penis, you have to let it absorb.
You wait 8 to 10 minutes.
But what if you waited 20? And you're I'm going to just rub it in so I know it's there. Everyone waits 20. I'm waiting for my lube. You're waiting for Promessin. And then we cannot go right to penetration because I feel everybody goes right for penetration sometimes and we need to slow it all down.
I think too many people put the idea of orgasm and penetration in the same category. What would be wrong with having your partner achieve an orgasm or two or even three prior to insertion, prior to intercourse? And I think people are so focused, and I think part of it is they're so into judging themselves based on porn they watch or anything else, their expectations are unrealistic. That I have people, I swear to you, because I work our interactive chat feature, it's called Olark on our site, it's me on there 2 hours a week. People go, what are you doing? I go, I need to understand who's buying our product, where they come from. And by the way, a lot of them go sex with Emily. That's where I heard about it, which is great.
I love it.
But I have people that go, I'm not kidding you. They go, how long can I expect to last? And the first thing I always ask is, how long are you lasting right now? Because it's a function of how long you last prior. And I have people say to me, I'm lasting 20 to 30 minutes. And I'm like, why are you buying Promessin?
Right.
They go, I want to last an hour. I'm like, are you trying to pleasure or punish your partner?
Right,
I'm I'm kind of confused.
You become
here.
A sex therapist. You put your sex therapist hat
on. Yeah, exactly. And I've literally talked to people on the site and talked them out of buying the product. They go, there's something you're doing wrong. If your partner is not climaxing in 30 minutes of penetration and thrusting, you need to either work on your technique or your partner needs to go to a gynecologist. Maybe there's an issue because this isn't about, setting an Olympic record for time. It's about pleasure. It's about mutual satisfaction between, a male and a female or two males or whatever. It's one of those things that people put sex almost into an Olympic category now. Mm-hmm. Like it's an event.
Right.
It's supposed to be mutual shared pleasure. It's supposed to be being in tune with your partner.
Exactly.
Don't rush into it. Oh, my God, you've got to have this at this time. Like you said, take your time.
Take your time.
Yeah.
Relax into it. Do the making out. Do the kissing. Because the orgasm gap, which is what we've been talking about since the beginning, Jeff, of Promessin.
Seven,
8 years.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I was like, there's something that could actually help men with last longer. Because I try everything. I didn't have a penis, but I had to give it to the penises I know. Because I was like, it's amazing. I was just talking about all the technologies now there are for penises and vaginas out there. And this is one of the first that was so exciting to me that you could actually help men last longer. But there still is the orgasm gap.
Yes.
And that is real. That is real for most, heterosexual couples, but really any couples. And that the orgasm gap, they say typically it can take a man, 5 to, the average is 8, 13 minutes or 8
to 13 minutes. The actual man, we're not talking about people with PE, the actual average healthy male lasts 5 minutes and 42 seconds of penetration and thrusting. The average female takes 18 minutes of penetration and thrusting to achieve climax. Those are in healthy couples. So that's the arousal gap or the orgasm gap. So even in healthy couples, if you just jump right into it, you're not going to have mutual satisfaction.
Yeah.
And that's why guys think about baseball scores, think about stopping, starting, think about their grandmother naked, think about all these coping mechanisms. And isn't sex and intimacy supposed to be about unbridled pleasure?
Yes.
You know, letting yourself go and really enjoying yourself and being into your partner, as opposed to having this little guy on your shoulder walking on eggshells. Not yet, not yet. Oh,
yeah.
My God, is she?
Oh my God, think of my aunt.
You don't want to be so hyper-focused. Like, you're not even enjoying yourself. You're trying to take your mind away from the pleasure rather than feeling the pleasure.
Right, exactly. You want to be in the moment with your partner and, like, let it last. It's true that it has kind of become this Olympic performance based on porn, which is what we were just talking about before you came in, about how that's how people are learning. They're thinking, like, oh, longer is better and more positions is better. And, like, you're not, I wish there could just be, I don't know, I wish I had the time and money, like, just make porn that was, like, real, like, intimacy, like, couples just stare into each other's eyes and see, like,
you never see that.
How, I mean, it's like a foreplay channel, like, are people ever searching foreplay, like, on Pornhub? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, someone,
I don't know,
someone somewhere might be. Yeah. I think
you'd have to dig deep into the Pornhub archives to
right.
find the, you know, the foreplay,
sensual soft sex.
Yeah,
that's a with a plot.
There's like one video.
That's how we like Erica Lust. That's how we like Erica Lust, though. Exactly. There's one.
There is a female porn.
Erica Lust.
Is that what it's called?
We love her. Yeah.
I love that. I saw that. I'm
she's amazing. She's been on my show a lot. She's a director.
Yeah.
I was going to direct a film with her, perhaps, if I go to Barcelona. We were going to have our listeners submit their erotic, their porn stories, like what they dream about, what their fantasies are, and then we were going to make a porn. It could still happen if I get to I might get to Barcelona next year and do it. But her name's Erica Lust, and it's, if you are listening right now and you have not been satisfied with the porn you watch, if you check out her site, it really is. It's like for women, by women, because most porn now we know is by the male gaze, which to be honest, Jeff, I mean, as a businessman, it's good for your company, but also in porn, like what we're seeing isn't like real depictions of sex. So yeah, they are lasting longer in a way that would be good for business, actually, because they're like, I'm not porn been great because they're like, I'm not lasting an hour and a half. And Jeff's like, whoa.
No, exactly.
No one wants you to last an hour. But what you were saying, though, it's so true that there is this notion, maybe it's a lot of younger men, that they still believe that sex, that it's measured upon how long they last, and they're thinking that before they don't even know about the pleasure part. Like, no, actually, if you do a lot of the work beforehand on your partner, go down on her, give her orgasms, that's the stuff to focus on.
That's what you really need to focus on. You want to hear something that shows you how warped people's perception are.
Yes.
You know, we're the number one best-selling sexual enhancement product on Amazon. The number five product in sexual enhancements, I swear, I wish I was making this up. It's some kind of supplement that supposedly increases the amount of semen that you ejaculate.
Really?
I'm like, what kind of a dude is going, hey, what's my volume like?
I mean, if they want to get pregnant, maybe?
No.
The guys worry about volume.
No, that's a real thing.
No, I thought you meant the actual semen. No, guys want, because it's fucking porn.
It's porn.
It's the splooge in porn.
A guy's going, if I can't hit my partner in the eye from 12 feet away,
seriously,
I'm deficient. You know what I mean? I'm like, what? Where am I? What kind of a cosmic hellhole have I fallen into where that has become an expectation? And someone's going to buy a product to go, yeah, I'm measuring my distance. That I'm like, oh my God.
People do that. They do it all the time. And I've heard them say that, yeah, like and something's wrong when they can't shoot across you. But it's for men, right? Because they want to see it. To them, like, you think their partner's going, your ejaculate was low this week.
I mean, yeah, I'm just, I've just never really felt that was an issue to kind of be a little self-conscious about. I was like, what? But it's consistently, because I always go through the rankings. I want to see who's behind us, you know?
Yeah.
Fortunately, we're not behind anyone.
I love that you're number one now. I know you've been through a lot. I mean,
yes.
I don't know what, you know, if you want to talk about what's been going on or...
It's, you know, it's one of these things that you have to address things. And there was a podcast that came out, American Greed, did a big podcast on this lawsuit that we're involved in.
Yeah.
And it's going to go to trial next year. And, you know, you and I have talked about it at length. And it's frustrating because in a lot of cases when you're an entrepreneur and you have a small company that's dynamic, especially in a very large market segment, which we are, you're going to have big companies that try to take advantage of it. And we've had that happen. And we're moving steadily ahead in the litigation. We're very pleased with where we're at. That being said, the company that we're in litigation with is $20 billion a year, and they're doing everything possible to delay it and run up the cost. That's the playbook that big companies use. But I have very good representation, and we've been very thorough and very diligent. And I, as soon as I sensed what was happening, I obviously took very copious notes and I had everything documented, and it happened. And there's no doubt about it. And one of the frustrating things is, if you're me and you're sitting here and you watch, they're being represented by this big firm, Shepard, Mullen, Hampton, and Richter, is you watch how they operate and you can see what they're covering up and you can see what they're trying to exclude. And it's gross.
Right.
They know exactly what happened. They know how guilty their client is.
Well, let me just back everyone up. I mean, I couldn't tell, like, because Jeff was on a podcast. He's been talking about this. But what I'm saying, as an entrepreneur, you, your friend, who Ron, if you want to, I don't know.
Dr. Gilbert.
And he was killed.
Yes.
And he's the one who created Promescent as a urologist. He was like, wow, I invented this thing that is going to help men and have better sex, which is really an amazing story that he invented. And then he was mistakenly killed.
He was killed in mistaken identity.
And then Jeff has been a champion of this brand since, it was his best friend since its inception. So when I met Jeff, he was just like, it was just a few years after. You're like, I'm going to take
this brand. It was literally
months after. Wow, Jeff. Wow.
Been and it's it. Been almost 7 years now. So that shows how long we've been doing
God,
biz together.
Jeff. And the whole thing was like, you're like, I know this is working because I've taken her and I want to help him. But then he died and you're like, I'm going to help his family. So for you, this has been like, and the thing about Promescent is that the fact that it's really, there was nothing else like it. There is nothing really
else like it.
Still
to this day, there's nothing else like it.
And then one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies, like you're the little man, like really tried to buy you. I remember the whole thing. And now they're like, they stole your formula. So I'm glad that you're going after them, that you're sticking to this and that you've been getting a lot of press and attention around it. So we all wish you, so much luck here and whatever we can do to support that, because it fucking sucks. It reminded me, this is not even equivalent. But it doesn't even matter. The story of someone stealing your shit, kind of is, but so it's just weird because I'm at serious now. But I remember when I started my show 14 years ago, I was talking to someone who actually was a producer for radio. And I think he was working at Sirius, but he's a family friend. And he's like, well, I said, I think I just want to start doing a podcast, but I would love to do radio. And I think maybe I'd already been on the radio. Point is, he goes, well, Emily, you just be careful, because how do you know that someday someone just couldn't be sex with Susan? And I was like, well, and I said, this was when I first started, I said, well, there could be a sex with Susan, but she wouldn't be sex with Emily.
No, she'd be somebody different. Yeah.
She'd be Susan, how Susan talks about sex, not how I talk about Emily about sex, which is kind of the same, but different. No one ever did that. And I actually knew in my head that no one could be me, because I'm talking about me, but your freaking formula, they fucking stole it.
Yeah.
But they still can't be you, and they can't have the integrity that you have.
They can't. And they were so careful trying to design around it, because when you are knowingly ripping someone off, you try to cover your tracks. And they were so careful in trying not to violate the actual formulation that they came up with an inferior product, which is hilarious.
Which is great. So it won't even matter.
But they took all of our trade secrets and data and then literally tortiously interfered, tried to get us, crushed in some of the venues we were in. But the funny part is, here's this billion-dollar company trying to crush us, and we're still number one. We still have the number one best ranking, and we still dominate any platform that we're head-to-head with these guys.
Yeah.
And I take a tremendous amount of pride in that.
Yeah, you should. You've been working really hard for it, so, and as you should, and we support you.
Yes.
Okay, Jeff, so that was just I haven't seen him. So you guys can call us. I mean, we haven't caught up.
We actually have a George, 46 in Ohio, who wants to ask Jeff about Vitaflux.
Okay, fire away. You said George?
Yes.
Okay, George, go ahead.
George?
We're having phone problems.
George.
Oh. Well, sorry, George.
Oh.
Oh, there he came. Okay. George?
Call He's back, gone. George, if you can.
He started to say, learned about Promescent through
He started asking about Vitaflux, which is a new product we have, and he said he found Promescent, I guess, through you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think that's what I caught before he...
Yeah, that's what he caught. I was trying to look up Vitaflux. I don't know.
What's Vitaflux?
You're going to laugh when I tell you this. It's a new product we have that's freaking spectacular. It's a mini Promescent, and it doesn't treat PE, but it was developed at Baylor University by some of the leading sex therapists there. It's an endothelium agent, which increases nitric oxide. And what it does is give you a much higher libido. It helps circulation, so it helps with better erections. It helps with energy level.
How do you digest it? How do you take it?
It's just
the
pills.
Same thing.
It's a bunch of L-carnosine. It's a bunch of amino acids. It's high quality, and it is spectacular. It was developed at Baylor University, and one of the leading sex researchers in the business said to me, you got to try this product. I said, okay, great. He gives it to me. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, I felt so much energy, and it gave me mental alertness, and it gave me a lot. My libido increased, and I'm like, wow, you know, my age, 60, it's always a nice little bonus.
Yeah.
And they developed it for sexual function. But the crazy part was because of the endothelium aspect, the nitric oxide aspect, it regulates, stabilizes blood pressure. So it blew up and took off in the blood pressure area. So they weren't really marketing it in sexual wellness. So I said, do you mind if we take it in that area? So they said, sure. And it went insane. We're selling, I mean, it's crazy. We have people come on every 3 months, order three bottles of Promescent and three bottles of VitaFlux.
I didn't even know
it's
this,
natural.
Jeff.
Yeah,
okay.
It's
for men.
Relatively new. It actually works for women, too.
See, I just think libido is such a mind thing. It's for your mind, if you're on board with sex, your brain.
The endothelium layer, though, is what protects.
I don't know about endothelium.
Yeah, it allows a lot of your hormones. It allows the nutrients to get to your hormones. It raises your hormone level.
Okay.
So that's why the libido goes up. I literally started giving it to my friends around where I live. I go, try this. I go, because I was thinking to myself, this has to be a placebo effect. Every single person I gave it to goes, what is that? I love that product. I go, it was developed by a leading sexual researcher at Baylor University.
Hmm. Okay, that's amazing.
It's called VitaFlux. Evidently, this guy tried it or is thinking about trying it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
George from Ohio.
Cool. George from Ohio. Thanks, George. Yeah. We have phones, but the good thing is that, Jeff, we always have stuff to talk about, even if we don't have phones. So what I was thinking, though, so in breaking this down, I'm talking to Jeff. He's a CEO of Promescent and Climax Control Spray and now other things like VitaFlux. Didn't know. What about couples who are trying to figure out, this just comes up all the time, like, when should they have sex? So, for example, your partner, like you have kids, right?
Yes.
Do you really create, like, how do you make time for it? I think that couples really struggle with this. Or, for example, your partner always wants in the morning and you always want sex in the evening. And it just can seem kind of silly, but really, people don't really have these conversations with their partners. They just realize they're not having sex. So I just realized this could be a cure for it, just talking about it, and then even like scheduling sex.
You know what I was going to say? If you have children or you both have busy careers, you literally need to schedule it.
You have to.
Because if you just wait
else.
For it to be spontaneous, you're going to go weeks at a time without intimacy.
It's never going to happen.
And you know, I guess I'm just different because I majored in communications and I've always been talkative like you.
Yeah.
Any relationship I've ever been in, you discuss it. When people say to me, you know, we haven't had sex in a month, and I go, well, have you guys talked about it? No. I go, how do you lay next to someone every night for a month and not be intimate and not discuss it?
Right. I don't understand it either.
I think the ultimate foreplay is communication.
Yeah, it's so hot. The words.
Exactly.
Talk about sex. Talk about what you want to do. Get excited for it.
Yeah, and the idea that your partner's like, we need to schedule this, makes you feel wanted, makes you feel desired, and vice versa. I mean, how do you feel laying next to someone for a month and they don't touch you and you don't even talk about it? You talk about the elephant in a room.
Right.
How do you deal with that?
Exactly. It is the elephant in the room. And it is crazy because it goes back to that we think that sex should magically always work out without trying, that it's some mystical act that we do that's just kind of been placed here by the universe and we don't really know how it works, kind of like air or gravity or like sex should just happen. And we think talking about it is wrong. And like somehow, and if we schedule it, that is not sexy.
That's
but like
not
how
spontaneous.
Sexy is not having sex?
Well, think about this. You know, a lot of it actually funnels from the whole religious thing about how there's so much teen pregnancy because a lot of young people think, well, if I acknowledge it and go by contraceptive, that means I'm planning on having sex. But if it's spontaneous, that means I didn't expect it to happen. Wait a second.
Exactly.
You're not being responsible protecting yourself from potential diseases. You're not being responsible protecting yourself from unwanted pregnancies by hoping that it becomes spontaneous so you don't, you know, displease your church by thinking you consciously had an effort to have. It's a desire. It's a physical desire, like eating or sleep, everything else. So be open about it. And, you know, just like you said, people just want it to be spontaneous. What other part of your life, when you invest, do you just throw darts at a dartboard and buy a company you haven't invested in? No, you research and you go, I want to do this right. The more information I have, the better. And you talk to people. Hey, what do you think about this company? What do you think about this stock? When you go to work out, you ask other people, what's the best gym? Why do you like that? You know, why can't you do that with sex?
I know, really. Well, people are just starting. I think we're still like this new frontier with sex. We're still the front lines in a sense, sexually. Like people are still like, oh, every night. I was saying like, oh, I didn't know that I could even talk about it. Like we still feel like we don't have permission. But you have to understand that everything in life that is worth having, the things that we care about, the things that we're good at, that we put effort into, the rewards come back to us. the things that you care about, we don't think that we should invest time, money, energy, speaking, anything into sex.
Shows like this are so important because what I think it does, it normalizes talk about sex. It allows people to go, it's okay for me. Other people have the same fantasies, the same desires I do. I'm not dirty if I desire sex. I'm not dirty if I go, wow, I want to be a little out of the box. If it's between you and your partner and you both desire, but how are you going to know what you both desire if you don't talk right, about it?
Exactly. Just know that after 6 months to 2 years, 18 months, the honeymoon phase is going to die and you're going to have to start talking. So just start talking at the beginning.
At the beginning. And then that honeymoon phase will last a lot longer.
Exactly. The reason why the honeymoon phase lasts is because it's new and it's novel and it's spontaneous. It's like someone new. And there's other things. There's attraction and chemistry. But that could happen with a lot of people, that honeymoon phase, which is why so many relationships don't work, because we kind of like ride the wave of the honeymoon for a year and a half.
And they think that's going to be that way forever.
But it's not. But every night someone wakes up or calls in, they're like, oh, guess what? It was great at the beginning, but now it's not. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens.
That's a relationship.
That's a relationship. So talk about all the stuff at the beginning. And if you don't know, then say, I'm not sure, but I've been listening to this show. This chick named Emily, Dr. Emily, she told me that I should talk about it. I don't even know what to say, but clearly we should talk about it, and we never talk about it. Like, that's such a great way to say it, too, if your people are so afraid to talk about it. And I've said it's just like ripping a Band-Aid off. Like, I think a lot of what we talk about in here is really just giving people scripts, and here's how you have the conversation. So even just saying, I don't know what to say, this feels weird, awkward, and wrong to talk to you about sex because we've never done it, but I feel like it's important. Let's do it together.
I've been in relationships before where I'll actually say to someone, and they get really uncomfortable, I'd say, I really like watching you touch yourself. You know, and they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, why? I'm like, well, how better would I know what you like rather than you show me? And they'll go, oh, no, I like everything you do, everything you do. I'm like, okay, I'd like to think I'm the sex god, but I'm pretty realistic. I'm not, okay? Quit being so uptight. And I'm like, show me what you... And they're like, they get all uptight. Yeah. And it's like,
still today, women, you're right.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
A lot of women still to this day think that if they really show that overt sexual side that you'll be intimidated or you'll think, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, you know, because I would hate to be a woman in today's society for this reason. If you're not sexual enough, a guy's going to go, well, you're boring. But if you're too sexual, a guy's going to go, hey, where'd you learn that? You know what I mean? Like, whoa, whoa, you're a little bit edgy. So it's hard to be a woman and really exert your sexuality because a lot of men would be intimidated. They would
Do you think they still would be, though? Or is that just the old messages that if women really started saying, this is what I want, this is what I need?
There's a certain amount of men out there, maybe 20, 25% that would run with it and be totally turned on.
We want more of those.
We need 100%.
We need every man to do that.
But there's still men that want their woman to be desirable and sexual, but not too sexual.
Right. Not too much. I don't want to know, where'd you learn that one?
Yeah, exactly.
How many, you know?
Yeah. Because there's still, you know, we laugh about this all the time. There's still so much insecurity in men.
Yeah.
There really and truly is. And you see it when you work the chat feature on our site.
Tell me, on the Promescent site, tell me about what are the insecurities you're finding?
Oh, I don't last long enough. I need to, will this help me grow my penis? I'm like, where on this site was
it? Does it say grow?
Does you're it like, say grow your
how
penis?
How great though, Jeff, if it did. Yeah, well, damn it.
Trust me, if it did.
The next formula.
I'd be on my own private island next to Bali somewhere, you know?
I know. I would never see Jeff again.
Yeah, exactly. I'd call in.
Side effect.
Yeah. Bring me another pina colada. I'll be over here. Yeah. But it's weird because on our site, you hear people go, well, you know, I want to last an hour. You know, I want to make my penis bigger. And I'm like, well, why don't you just focus on what you have and really get the best out of it? You know, because every guy literally thinks they have to have a 10-inch penis. It's from watching porn.
They think
that they got to be able to hit a bullseye across the room on a dartboard. They think that they have to last an hour. Yeah. It's insane.
It is insane.
It's insane.
And the penis insecurities, I feel like we've done a lot on this show to kind of debunk that or to kind of calm men's nerves about their penises, because most of the we're all fine with it. Like, if you know what you're doing, you know how to please us, and since only 20% of women can actually orgasm with your penis, we're not tripping on the size of your penis.
That's why I tell
people. We want to know about your skills. We want to know what you're doing. We want to know that you can please us and you want to pay attention. But I think it's interesting, going back to what you said about the women who you're with, even recently, who are like, oh, everything you're doing feels good. It reminded me, like, I used to be that way. I used to be the woman who was like, I also didn't know what I wanted before I started the show. And I also was like, they'd be like, how does this feel? I'd be like, great. And like, how's this? I'm like, everything you're doing is perfect. But in my mind, I'm like, it's not. But then I was, before I knew about my body and talking about sex, I was like, well, if I tell them it's not good, I was the person who didn't know what else I really wanted either.
Yes.
So there's so many layers to that. There's the women who are no, but they feel like they're going to feel slutty. There's me just saying like, oh, everything's great, because I didn't know what was better. And so that's why, you know, it's, we got to continue to talk about it with everybody. And I love that you're out there and you have a son, and I'm sure he's talking in a healthy way to his friends.
He's very open.
Everybody needs to be listening to this kind of thing. Yeah. So if you're listening now, we do this 5 minutes a week on Sirius XM Stars, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 East. And also we have podcasts. We release 3 podcasts a week going back 15 years, 14 years. They're not all available right now online, but they will be. We should release them all as like a...
I think iTunes was like, whoa, man.
Whoa.
We need to cut some of these off. We can only put so many on.
Yeah, there's like 500. I know. Well, I still have it on my hard drive. I'm like, do I want one from 2006 released? What was I saying? I mean, I've grown up on the show. But still, it hasn't been, you know... And even all these years, though, there's not that many other people talking about it in a healthy way, which is why it's really,
you know, one of the things being a man that I can speak for all men out there. One of the reasons women have to be vocal and they have to tell men what they like, because you can have the same woman, you know, your basic penis is pretty indestructible and it, they all respond to the same things. You go oral sex or that works. But there are women who look exactly like, same body type, same everything. Some of them are like, I want my clit rubbed a lot harder. Some of them are like, oh my God, I'm so sensitive, you can barely touch. Right. So as a guy, you're like, wait a second, okay? It's like cracking a safe. Everyone has a different combination,
right?
Okay?
You want to know, right?
You want to know, because the exact same thing that turns on one female is totally non-pleasurable to another, okay? Right. Because they have a hooded clitoris, they have, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's a total different animal each time, and you have to kind of dial it in. Like I said, it's like cracking a safe.
It is.
When you're a woman, when you're with a dude, okay, I got news for you. Give him a blowjob. He's thrilled, okay? You have to say, it's like, there's not that much difference.
Not as much difference. I mean, you could vary your blowjob a little, but it's not like the freaking clit. Some women don't even want their clitoris touched, right?
And some women are like, no, you get some sandpaper, grind. Right, I'm like, whoa, you know? I'm like,
So you have to know. You have to know.
And part of it is communication. You don't want to look up there. You're going down on someone and they got this horrified look on their face and they're like, oh, no, everything's fine. You're like, well, why are you having that panic attack over there? You know?
Exactly.
And then, you know, it's important to communicate.
And don't think
your guy's going to go, oh my God, if I'm doing something that might not be right to you, that he's going to freak out and go, oh my God, my technique is bad. No, because maybe that's exactly what his last partner needed.
That's what we often do, is that we often feel like, well, my last partner wanted this, so this is exactly what I should do with you. And we don't know the variation. So there's also the sex education part of it that just like, we got to talk about it.
That's why I start out with, hey, I want to see you touch yourself. That
give me an
idea.
Going back to that. And she was like,
No, a couple times they're like, they start backing out the door. I'm like, wait, come back. I was just kidding. Yeah. Even though I'm not, you know.
Right.
But no, it's.
It is hot. That's why I love mutual masturbation. I love recommending that to people. And they're like, oh, really?
A lot of dudes are like, no.
Why? You don't want to be seen. You wouldn't want someone to watch you, your partner.
I mean, if it's in the context of someone I really care for, it's like, okay, yeah, great. But I'm much more of a voyeur. I'll do it because I figure it's really unfair to ask someone else to do it and you not do it.
Right.
But I'm like, hey, whatever you do works for me. I'm a dude. You know what I mean? Right. Like, this is a little more complex over here. So I need to go to school here for a little while just to kind of see
where. It's really hot too, right? To watch him. It's like a twofer.
Yeah.
You're learning and it's hot to see that your partner likes to give themselves pleasure.
There's
super
nothing.
Sexy.
I've talked to a lot of other guys. I swear to God, there's nothing hotter for a guy than to watch a woman. That's why. If you watch porn, look how many women's masturbation scenes there are.
That's very true.
And have you ever seen a guy one? I've never seen a guy masturbation scene, but I don't watch women's porn.
I actually
think
that that's hot.
What, women masturbating?
Like, no, like just a guy, like a jerk-off video.
Yeah.
If the penis is really pretty looking.
Right.
Because some people do have like a particularly pretty penis.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. I think they all vary. That's true.
Yeah.
They don't show that a lot, huh?
No, they don't. But
not a lot. You had to look it up specifically.
But how real are the women? I don't watch enough porn. Any porn.
Well.
But how about realistic is the masturbation? Well, because I was just going to say, for some women who are stuck and they don't know where to start with masturbation, maybe you could get some tips.
Yeah. I mean,
but
so.
But again, I'm saying porn's not real.
Has there ever been a porno without a woman's masturbation scene?
Well, on Pornhub, some scenes not
but
as much.
But it seems like it's fake. They're doing it so fast.
Well, they do it so fast. Not only that, they're flopping around like
it's
a fish.
Real.
I mean, I'm like, come on, you know?
I don't think it's real.
It's
but
near
I think like that site like OMG Yes is a great site.
I feel like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Show just the end.
Yes,
just
Jamie.
Like the right
yes,
before.
Jamie. Yes. Ding, ding. Yes,
yes.
Fucking yes. That's what pisses me off. Just like the person who was doing anal and called in the other night, like, well, I went from back to front because because in porn they went from back to front.
Oh my God.
I'm like, dude, in porn they're not showing you the warm-up, the condoms, the lube, the washing in between, and they're not showing a woman. They're only showing her at the end of masturbation. They're not showing her touching.
They never do.
Dressing. This pisses me off.
It's always the end when she's grinding a million miles an hour, and it's just the orgasm
and
part of it.
That's why guys go at, when guys try to go after your, that's why they start, I know, that's why they go really
fast. That's all they've ever seen. They think that's exactly what it happens. You start out a million miles an hour, and then 12 seconds later, you're supposed to climax.
Yeah, that's why my number one sex advice, if people, like, I used to say this, if they're like, my number one, they're like, Emily, if you had a gun to your head, number one tip, I'm like, slow down. Like, literally, slow down. Go three times slower than you think. Like, you think, like, if you're like, oh, but I already go slow, then go a little slower. I think that's going to work for every sector.
That is
sex
great act, advice.
Whether you're kissing, whether you're, like, undressing each other, whether you're, like, everything. Like, what is the goddamn rush? Especially with the orgasm gap.
Anticipation is the best part of sex.
It is.
The buildup is the best part.
It is the best part.
And like, I've always found, for me personally, the longer the buildup, the better the finish.
Yes.
Think about
it's
that.
It's true.
It is. The more you anticipate it, the more foreplay you have, the stronger the climax.
That's why I think, like, that's why we, like, look forward to dates, or don't rush into relationships too quickly, in the sense of, like, keep that fire burning as long as you can, or just tease each other. If you, like, tease your partner all night long, like, you're teasing each other, like, maybe you go into the restaurant and, like, you hand them your underwear because you're not wearing any, and then you, like, make out in the bathroom, you go back, and then you're having dinner, and you just prolong it the whole night. There's not going to be as much work when you get home.
And that's
if
exactly
you think
right.
Foreplay is work.
Yeah.
You're going to tease them, you know. They still might need a little permessant, though. They can put that on the bathroom. Jeff, okay, we're going to go. This was awesome having you here.
I enjoyed being
here. I love
here.
Seeing you all the time, Jeff. Thank you for coming in.
This is a show that's necessary. This really is a show that's necessary. This should be required listening for every newly married couple.
I'm doing my
to get
best.
The relationship off on a
right?
good start.
This is what I think. I'm telling everybody. Thank you, Jeff, for being here.
It's a pleasure.
I appreciate it. You can find Jeff at promescent.com. We'll also put that in the show notes if you're curious about it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into your calls.
We have Megan, 29, in Rhode Island. She's dating a 51-year-old man and can't keep up with sex.
Oh, hey, Megan. Thanks for calling. This is interesting. Tell me more.
Hi.
You're on.
Are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Megan.
Oh, I'm on. I'm sorry. This is crazy. I listen to your stuff quite often. My fiance got me into listening to your radio station.
Oh,
but
I'm
anyway,
so glad.
Yes. I actually met my fiance now at 24. I was a massage therapist, and he came in, and I actually... So I got to turn on the radio, baby, because I can hear myself echo. We ended up actually having sex at the spa, like, right when I met
hot.
Him. Like, we couldn't keep our hands off of each other. Yes, hot, right?
Right.
And ever since then, we were doing it probably like 2-3 times a day. But now we're going on 5 years, and I don't know what's up with me. Like, he wants it still 2-3 times a day, but... it's not that I'm not horny or anything.
It's a lot of work.
I don't know what's going to be. Like, it's a lot of work. I get tired and, you know, I'll be at work thinking of him. But then when I get home, it's like, oh, shit. Like, I just want to go to bed.
No, Megan, totally makes sense.
But so I want to please my man.
Of course you do. So here's what I think. Have you guys ever, like, talked about it? Like, just talked about your sex life or what you guys are into and what turns you on?
We're very sexual. We've actually... I can be blunt on here, right?
Dude. Use anything. Mind, please course. Do. The blunter, the better.
We've done threesomes to spice up our relationship. I'll do those once in a while just because I like women as well, and obviously he does. And I find it really attractive watching him, and it really turns me on. So that's like our number one thing. We're not like swingers or anything.
Right.
And toys. I love when he uses toys on me.
Great.
But it's just, I don't know what's gotten into me. Like, I don't know if...
Well, here's the thing, Megan, it's not sustainable to have sex 2-3 times a day for the rest of your life. I mean, I'm impressed that you've been keeping it up for 5 years. And so just know that great sex is not always about, it's mostly not about the quantity, right? Like, how many times you have sex is about, like, quality sex. And for you, it sounds like you might need sex a little less frequently, but that's okay. You can still please your man in other ways, or you guys can still figure out ways to have intimacy when it's not intercourse. And so I think that this concern of yours, I understand, like, just wanting to do it to please him, but you're going to end up resenting it and resenting sex if you're not into it as well. So I feel like, what would feel right to you right now, Megan? Like, how many times a week?
I mean, I wouldn't mind doing it, like, 5 times a week, but to be perfectly honest, he was starting to get really mad at me, like, if you don't have sex, like, I'm going to be pissed at you type of thing, like, throwing temper tantrums. So it kind of made me feel like it was more of a job, and,
Megan,
throw me up against the wall, start kissing me, start fingering me, bend me over, pull my hair, like, jump in the shower with me, be spontaneous, but it's like, I take a shower, he takes the shower, we hop in bed at night, and then we fuck. And it's like, no, I don't want that kind of sex. Like, I want our beginning sex where it happens.
So you need, well, here's the thing, Megan. This is what I was asking. You guys talked about it. So just so you know, this is probably your, you know, it's a long relationship. 5 years, you're 29 years old. You've been in it since you were 24. Here's the thing. In relationships, that initial chemistry is actually a physiological reaction we're having to someone. Like, you're having these love hormones that are connecting you, oxytocin and dopamine. That's what happens in the honeymoon phase. But that's after a while, that is going to fizzle. And so couples have to figure out, like, what would turn you on? Couples forget that you have to still keep doing the things that you did at the beginning or find new things. So you might need some sexy texts from him, some words. You might need him to tell you things, to give you a massage. So you got to let him know. If you text me in the middle of the day and tell me that I'm really hot or what you're going to do to me, when I hear those words, it really turns me on. You might want him to come home and just start kissing you slowly, or it sounds like you want him to throw you against the wall.
And he doesn't want that. He's like, well, baby, I better get in the shower and stuff. And I'm like, I don't care. Just fuck. Why do you need to get in the shower?
That's what you need. Listen, Megan, men and women get turned on differently. Arousal is very different. Men are more automatic arousal and more spontaneous. Like, he gets spontaneously aroused when he sees you. Women are more responsive. We respond to stimuli like dirty talk, kissing, slowing things down, being under foreplay. It's not just a suggestion, it's a requirement. So he has to understand that he can't just snap and you're ready for sex. No woman is ready for sex like that. Maybe at the beginning, but that's the problem in so many relationships. We rest on all the shit that happened in the beginning and then we keep trying to chase that high from the first 6 months and it's not realistic. So why I'm here on the planet is to explain to couples and individuals that you have to know going into a relationship, the sooner that you guys talk to each other about what actually turns you on and what you need, and the better you're going to be. But I don't love the part about him getting mad at you and threatening. Like, that makes that gave me pause. I'm turned off too, and I don't think he's treating you very well. And he's 51 years old, and I think he should know better. And if he doesn't understand, which, to be honest, most men don't understand this, so I wouldn't be surprised if at 51 he doesn't get this, because most of sex is based on more about what men want than women want. But you can explain to him that this is what you've learned by listening to the show we turned you on to, that it's actually that you need more pleasure.
He is listening to you, and he does take this stuff into consideration, because, I mean, he loves sex. I know after hearing you say this, and it's not just me, he's probably going to be a lot better about it.
Well, I hope
and
so.
Doesn't get mad. I feel like I will be into it more, where I start jumping on top of him and
of course
against that wall and starts like picking up my legs and ripping off my clothes. Like, I love that stuff.
Exactly.
I don't like the planned sex. Like, no. I don't like planned sex.
You're not right, because you're not turned on by it. Right, exactly, Megan. Well, I hope this, it sounds like this is going to work for you. I'm glad he's listening. Hello, boyfriend. Hope you guys can work it out. Thank you, Megan, for calling. I'm so glad you found the show.
We have James, who's 29 in Canada. His wife has endometriosis, and he wants to know how to make sex more enjoyable for her.
Okay. Hey, James. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you? I'm happy to help.
Not too bad. Just driving home. But, she's had severe endometriosis ever since she was young. Most times that we have sex, she... has a lot of cramping after. I don't know whether there's something I can do to afterwards or something that I'm doing wrong. I'm not sure. She says that the sex is fine, but it's just, she just gets cramping. If we have sex at nighttime, she finds it troubling to sleep at night.
Does she say, and she's had this since you guys were together? Like you said, she's had it for a while.
She's had a couple surgeries done, and then we actually had a little one, and the OB was actually amazed that she actually got pregnant. Okay. And she had carried him the whole term and whatnot. He's now 4 and a half. But, you know, still, they thought maybe that might have fixed the problem a little bit. But she's just getting, she still has the cramps. Sometimes she doesn't have the cramps.
Has she been to see, like, has she been to see, she could see a pelvic floor physical therapist for endometriosis. I would love her to see somebody. If she's had it her whole life, she should definitely go see a pelvic floor physical therapist first, because she doesn't have to live with this pain. So there are also some, there's some things, like, we're a huge fan of CBD. There's something called Foria Awaken, and that can help a lot of women with this. So you just kind of, it's like a prelube, and she can rub it in, you know, you could even do it for her. You can rub it into her vulva, and before you, you know, foreplay, and it just feels really good. That can kind of help alleviate pain. It has CBD. And then there's also some positions that are better for endometriosis and others, like spooning, raising up her hips, using a pillow. Missionary position is often really painful for people with endometriosis. And if she is having a lot of pain, you know, at the times it is more painful, you can do other things. Foreplay, massage, oral stimulation. That's what I would recommend, James.
I kind of feel bad afterwards. So it's like, and I can't really do anything about it at the time. But it's like, it kind of puts a bit of a dull ending on everything. You know?
I understand that. But I also think that she doesn't realize it. I think the first thing to figure out is, like, how you can help her not have the pain. She doesn't have to live with that pain. Women, a lot of women can cure endometriosis by going to see a pelvic floor physical therapist. So if you look at, we're going to, if you go to the show notes at sexwithemily.com, we're going to put a podcast on there that I did with a woman named Heather Jeffcoat. And she's a physical therapist, and she works with women all the time to help them with endometriosis. Because I understand that you're feeling bad, so your only thing is to not have sex with her and just do foreplay so she can still have pleasure and orgasm, or figure out a way that she has less pain with penetration. All right?
Gotcha.
Thanks,
okay.
James. Thanks for calling. Let me know how it goes. I will be here for you. Let me know. Thanks. It's the thing, you guys. Women do not have to live with pain. 80% of women experience pain during intercourse, and you do not have to have it. You don't. We live. We just think, pain's a part of life. I'm just going to have pain forever. We can take care of that. You can solve that. I mean, I can't personally, but I can help you and tell you where to go for sure.
Yeah, I just, too, like how so many women just bear through it, too.
They do.
Just to go. They're like, I know it hurts me, but I want to please my partner.
I know. Because we're so strong. And I think we're tough. And we're like, we're taking one for the team. I don't want him to. Like, so he's feeling bad, which is great. But she's also probably like, I have to do it. I'm a wife. I'm just going to be pain. But I'm telling you guys, you might have to take a little break from intercourse, but go work on how you can get your body feeling good again.
One of my good friends has endometriosis, and I wasn't aware that you can do this, and I'm going to have her listen to the podcast.
Yeah, listen to the podcast.
Just so she can actually get
And Heather wrote a book called, like, Vaginal Pain. I mean, Sex Without Pain.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I've sent several people to her, and it's, like, changed her life. Women don't realize that you just go in with, like, a dilator. It kind of looks like this dildo here, but it's, and then you just hold it in, and she does exercises with her, and she can go home, like, after a month, she can have less pain.
That's amazing.
It's amazing that women don't know this.
Yeah, that's going to help her with her partner as well, because she has those painful times.
We have Jen, who's 49 in Ohio. She wants to know why her sex drive is completely gone.
Hi, Jen. Tell me what's going on.
Hi. So I just want to know, like, what happened. It died. It completely died. I dried up. I died. I have no feeling. Nothing.
No, Jen. Okay, you got to back up. So are you in a relationship?
I know.
Well, there's a lot of things that go into this.
Yeah.
So you're married?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm married for 24 years.
Okay.
And we've been together 26. And it's, everything's great. I love him. Every feelings, they're awesome. But there's nothing. There's just no feeling there.
I know. Okay.
There.
So there's a lot. Right. So, okay. There's a few things. First, there's the physical, right? Like the physiological going through menopause or perimenopause. So our hormones drop, our hormones change. So that's very real. That could happen. You could get that checked out, go to a doctor. It could be, there's, you know.
I did.
Okay. Did you get like bioidentical hormones or anything like that?
Well, I went to an endocrinologist and got everything checked out, and I'm not quite perimenopausal yet.
Okay, you're not perimenopausal,
right?
Because you're 49, so you would be perimenopausal.
Yes, so I'm not menopausal yet.
Well, that could happen, but there's also other things. Really, honestly, Jen, a lot of it is, you're not going to like this, but boredom. We don't mix up our sexual repertoire enough. So you've been with the same partner for 24 years. And so also, we get used to the same person. I need to know about your communication around sex with your husband. Have you guys talked about it? Have you gone on a sexual adventure? Have you tried anything different? Do you excite each other? You do.
Yes. But there's no feeling. Like, I have no feeling at all. I joke around with everyone at work. I'm like, I'm dust down there. There's nothing.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. Do you have do you ever masturbate or have orgasms or do anything like that on your own? Do you have feelings when you do it yourself?
Yeah. Only with a vibrator.
Okay. That's okay. That's, come on. Sometimes we just need a vibrator every time. Do you know what really turned you on? Can you remember, like, what about foreplay? Like, if your partner goes down on you or you tease each other.
I like that, yeah.
So when he goes down on you, then do you feel like you're in the mood?
I mean, I don't even, like, want to even do that, though.
Right, I get it. It's
like, I don't even want to go there.
I know. Did anything, but you love your partner still. It wasn't like you had a fight or resentments or anything happened. So I feel like, okay, there's a few things also just getting reconnected. Reconnected with your body. I mean, I think that as women, this just happens. We get older, we disconnect from it. I do think a lot of it does have to do with hormones and menopause. And so I understand what you're saying, but once you get going, it actually feels good. So you have to get past the, like, I don't want to do it. It's kind of like going to the gym. Like, the hardest part is, like, getting out the door and putting your shoes on. But then when we get there, we're like, oh, I feel really good that I worked out. So part of it is that. And finding, it really is true though, right? Women expect that arousal is going to hit us over the head because most men have this spontaneous, right? They're just turned on, your partner sees you, and they get an erection. But for women, we think we're broken because we don't have that same drive that men do. We are wired differently. And especially as we get older, stress, other things going on in our life, hormones, it all changes. So we have to work a little bit harder at it. And by working at it, I mean you have to figure out ways that turn you on, that get you in the mood. If it's like taking a bath, if it's going on vacation, vacation sex works because you're getting out of your same routine, your same repertoire, doing the same things over and over again. Go to a sex toy store and go shopping together on your next date. Doing one thing different. Wearing something sexy in the bedroom. I know this all sounds like, it might sound cliche to you, but I'm telling you that's exactly what is missing right now. If you start creating new things for you guys to do, and I'm not saying you got to get a whole red room of pain, but really just like trying subtle things and maybe even talking about it in ways that you haven't before. There's some really fun sex games that you guys could play together. If you go to one of these stores or go to my site, sexwithemily.com, you know, getting some inspiration, doing some research. Right. Nothing's wrong with you. You're not broken. Just wetness. A little bit more work. For wetness, I recommend using a whole lot of lube. I mean,
so what kind? Do you recommend coconut oil?
People use coconut oil. I would recommend, I love something called Woo More Play. It's coconut oil lube, and we are obsessed with it here. It is, it's Woo, W-O-O, and it's coconut oil, and it's all organic ingredients, and it's actually like a massage oil coconut. Like, it's the best. It's such a great lube, so I would recommend that. Because it's actually made, it's coconut oil, but
edible?
It is edible. It tastes delicious. It's like vanilla.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to love that. So use a lot of lube. There's also something called like BTL micella is another thing. And it's a chair that you can sit on. There's like other things now for women, like rejuvenation things that aren't about like labioplasty, which whenever I say rejuvenation, women think I'm talking about like changing the shape of it. And it's more about using like there's a chair that you can sit on that helps you with. It also helps like tighten your pelvic floor, which it could also help with lubrication. You literally go to a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. You sit on a chair twice a week. It's called BTL micella. And it's pretty fucking awesome. And it strengthens your kegel, your pelvic floor. But I mean, lube should be great. If you're not using lube now, use lube every time. I mean, I think people should use lube the first time they have sex and every time thereafter. All right.
Okay.
All right. Check it out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, Jen, I'm here for you. Of course, I'm here every night. Let me know how it goes. See, that's what I love, being here 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. Jen can go home and like get the lube or dress up and then call next week and say, hey, here's how it all went down. Here's what happened. I'm really into sex again. My vagina isn't broken. Her vagina is not broken. We often think our vagina is broken, but it's just because we haven't paid attention to it. It's like a garden. We haven't been watering. We haven't been putting out the weeds. We haven't been tending to it. So we wonder why it's not growing or when it's not flourishing. It's because we literally get cut off and then we're like mad at our vagina because it's painful or it's just not getting aroused anymore. And we just kind of just think it's going to be fine during sex. But why would it just wake up and be ready when you just treat it like it's some foreign land? We got to stay connected to it. We got to breathe into our floor, pelvic floor. All right, guys, thanks for supporting the show, for listening to the show, for sharing the show with a friend, for reviewing us wherever you listen, and just for being awesome. Thanks also to my incredible team, Ken, Kristen, Lisa, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.